Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are you not introing?
I never do. What is this? What are you doing?
I thought you might want to intro.
But you just thought I'd just leave a space in case he picks up on it.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Do you not want to intro?
I can intro if you want, but give me a heads up. Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of Another Happy Pod.
Hello and welcome to Another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world. My name is Nathan. As always, I'm joined by my co-host. His name is Lawrence Thomas Heise. He jumped the gun a little bit there. You might have heard him. Hello, Lawrence. How are you? I actually don't care, but I would love it if you could tell us what this silly little show is all about.
I'm gonna put in the precursor to this episode starting and expose you for your crimes.
You
today.
Do that. I couldn't care less, to be honest.
Nathan, this is the show where we get together and we discuss something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a movie, it could be a TV show, could be maybe even a video game. But the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse that is oh so prevalent these days. How are you?
I'm tired.
I can tell. You're always mischievous when you're tired. Whenever you're like, oh, I can't be bothered today, you just start fucking around with the system and the format.
First of all, I never fuck around with the system or the format. I'm nothing but honourable and dedicated to my craft, which is podcasting. Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
It's a medium I take very seriously, and I respect it. Second of all, shut up.
Good. Very good. Other than tired, Nathan, how have you been? What's been happening in the last week?
Oh boy.
an interesting life you lead.
You've used a great time to ask me this question.
have you done nothing?
I've been playing The Last of Us. I started a I recently finished The Last of Us 2, obviously, because the remaster came out. And I've I started a new game plus of it, but I'm going for the grounded mode. And
oh god, is that the one where you, if you die once, you're dead?
No, that's permadeath.
Is that not included in grounded?
No. You can have it included, but I was like, no, I can't do both. That's no. I can do permadeath, but I'll do permadeath on the easiest mode possible. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, but grounded is like just the super, super, super hard difficulty. There's no, like, you know, you can do the listening mode thing where you can like see where people are and stuff.
Yeah,
doesn't exist, not a thing. you get like two bullets and then like off he goes.
And it's like good luck with him.
Yeah, and then the enemies are super like tough and stuff. It's very, very difficult. But yes, I'm doing that. And we'll
is
see.
Is
how
like
that
the
goes.
Detection easier? Like, can they do they pick?
Oh
you up
yeah,
easier?
Like there's no, you know, there's the little sound like before yeah. they see you. No, it's just instant.
It's just gone.
It's just yeah, they just see you. So
I don't. I've never ever been. I've tried it a few times. I tried it on The Last of Us, the first one, and like. Just a couple of, like, the second I run into any sort of clicker on Grounded, I'm just like, no, fuck this. I'm going back to, like, I don't know, hard at most, maybe medium.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a braver man than I. Last of Us 2 isn't nothing. What have I been up to this week? Bit of work. That's about it, really. Watching some films.
You're always watching films. No one cares.
I can't stop myself. You failed your... I don't know if... did you bring it up on this podcast?
No.
I feel like you did, and you're just saying you didn't, so I won't explain your loss.
No, I don't care.
Nathan lost.
First
he
of all, I haven't
me.
Lost. I got
oh,
bored.
Oh, but it was a competition until you decided
no,
it wasn't.
It was never a competition. I just got bored. And then I went, why am I doing this? And then I stopped. Because I was doing it purely out of spite, which is honestly my driving factor behind most things.
And I don't know why you were like, I'm going to do this too, and I'm going to do it better, by the way. And I'm like, all right,
yeah,
that's fine.
But then I got bored of it.
That's okay. Well, Nathan, speaking of Letterboxd and logging movies and just absolutely loving the
I also don't like the idea of just watching movies just to log them.
No.
Like, if I want to watch a movie, I'll watch a movie. Why do I need to put out my little app and then put it in this? I think Letterboxd would be a better app if you didn't have any followers, okay? If there was, if you couldn't follow anyone and no one could follow you and it was purely for you, okay? So there was no performative nature to it, because I think it's a bit performative.
I don't disagree, but I also think you're
but
doing
you're
that
doing
thing
a
again,
thread
you...
every day on Twitter as well.
Yeah, because right, well, firstly... got to get them tweets in.
Exactly.
And secondly,
it's performative.
No, not performative, because I started doing it because I decided there were so many movies that I just couldn't be asked to watch. And I was just like, right, you know what? I really want to see this, but I never get around to doing it. So I'm going to force myself to do it. And then it's like the first three, I was like, oh, I don't really fancy a movie today. And now I'm like, yeah, can't wait. Can't wait to see what I watch today.
Okay.
I'm explaining myself. Nathan, the reason I bring Letterboxd up is because this holds the slot number 4 in your favourites, the Stand By Me, that we're talking about today.
Does it?
It does. Oh, okay. No.
I didn't know that.
I was like, Nathan, why does this movie hold such a reverence? Why is it so important to you?
I don't even know. It's just a movie I watched a lot as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And a movie I hadn't seen in about at least 15 years until today, possibly more.
My relationship with this movie is pretty much, I must have seen it because I remember a fair bit about it after having seen it. And there's like certain, when I need to use clips of like 4 kids doing stuff in any edits that I do, I'll go to this movie first. But I pretty much knew nothing about this going in other than 4 kids basically walk along a railroad and that's about it.
I mean, that's pretty much the whole movie, to be fair.
I mean, there's more. There's a bit more going on.
There's more to it than that, but that is pretty much the most of the movie.
Just 4 kids. Imagine if it was just in silence. Just 4 kids just slowly wandering across a train track.
Probably been best picture.
Long live a 90-minute movie, is what I say.
Yeah. I thought all your mates loved long movies.
Right, why do you do that? You just put people in boxes, which is very strange.
But they do. They're all like, oh, you can't handle Oppenheimer. You're a bitch.
No, it's not that you can't handle Oppenheimer. It's just some movies benefit from being longer and some movies benefit from being shorter.
Every single movie in the world would benefit from being 90 minutes. Tell me I'm wrong.
What would you cut out of... what's a movie you like that's 3 hours long?
I can cut any movie down to 90 minutes.
Well, I mean, technically, that's not a lie. You could. Whether it be, like, watchable or good is a different matter entirely.
It'll all be good.
Okay, fine. This based on a book? Based on Stephen King?
Yeah, it's called The Body by Stephen King. It's about a body.
I feel like everything in the 80s was based off a Stephen King book.
Well, he loved cocaine, didn't he?
Hang on, where did that come from?
Cocaine was a big thing in the 80s.
Well, yeah, but, like, why did Stephen King love cocaine?
Because he did. He was right. He was fucking taking cocaine, and then he wrote, oh, I don't know, I'll write a scene where a bunch of kids have an orgy. That seems fucking something reasonable. And then he wrote it down in his book, and everyone was like, oh, this is sick. We'll make a movie of this in 30 years.
Was the orgy wasn't in the movie, was it?
No, well, obviously fucking not.
No, I know, but like it was, there was no implied orgy.
No, I don't. I never saw part two, so I don't know.
Why do you like this movie? Why that sounds like I don't. Why did you?
Why do you not like this movie? Because clearly you hate it.
I hate it when you do this to me. You put me on the defense for a movie I don't need to defend. Why is it? Why does it take the highly coveted number four slot of your four favourites on Letterboxd?
All right, first of all, fuck off with this Letterboxd thing. All right, okay.
It was all cool when you were doing it.
Yeah, well, now I'm not, so it's not cool.
Yeah, exactly. This is what you do. That's not fair.
I liked it a lot as a kid. It was one of those movies that, like, I don't know how I discovered it, but I just did. And then I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I watched it just like so much. It was like this. It was the Goonies. They were like these movies from like before my time, which I was like, oh, these are sick. I love movies. These are what movies should be. So yeah, I don't know. I just like it a lot. And I also think today was probably the first time I ever watched it with like my full adult brain. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, There's actual stuff going on here. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was surprised about, because I was watching this thinking like it's mostly that kind of Goonies-esque kids fucking around.
No.
Basically. But there's some fairly decently sad stuff in it. And I was like, oh.
I mean, get ready for some gay subtext.
I am so glad you've said this. They are so gay.
They are so gay, mate.
Where do you want to start with this?
Well, Lawrence, you hate this movie, so
yep.
Give us a brief summary of what it's about.
So basically, four kids who grew up in a small town.
Where is that town, Lawrence?
What did they say it was? What name was it?
Castle Rock, Oregon.
There we go.
Where is Oregon, Lawrence?
I don't, in America somewhere. I don't know
where. Where in America?
I don't know. I'm not from America.
It's on the West Coast. It's one of three states along the West Coast. California at the bottom. You have Oregon in the middle. And then you have Washington at the top. Washington being where Seattle is. So there you go.
I see. Well, there you go. Thank you for the fucking geography lesson.
You're welcome.
All right, yeah. Four kids grew up there. Small town. Everyone kind of knows everyone. But a kid has gone missing. Presumed dead, but a body has not been found until one of the four kids overhears that his older brother has come across the body, but obviously not told anyone about it through fear of getting in trouble for an unrelated crime. And then basically four kids who they just decide we're going to spend the weekend, we're going to travel to take a long old train track road walk over to where this body we think roughly is. And along the way, we find out a little bit more about them. It's a movie about friendship, a movie about growing up, but also, I think, understanding your friends on a deeper level. It's kind of a movie that is... It really captures the feeling of being young and without responsibility, but also the weird juxtaposition of being young and everything feeling like it has end-of-the-world stakes, like life or death implications.
Cool.
Stop. Give me something.
That was a good summary, Lawrence.
The most you've said about this movie is where Oregon is.
That's not true. I said gay subtext.
There is gay subtext. You want to talk about gay undertones and a bit of subtext going on?
No, yeah, no.
All right, then provide me the necessary context. Who are these four mates? Who do you like and who's playing them? There's some big names.
I don't know if there's some big names. I don't know if there's any big names.
No, there's River Phoenix and Corey Feldman are big 80s names, definitely.
What's River Phoenix done lately? Nothing, because he's dead.
Yeah, no, that's very sad.
Okay, so...
What a horrible thing to say about an absolutely tragic death.
I know.
Fucking hell.
How did he die?
He was unhappy with a lot of his fame, and I think it was... No one knows if it was intentional. I don't know, but it was definitely drug related, an overdose.
Is he Joaquin's brother?
He is. He is indeed.
Interesting. Will Wheaton.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is. Who's this guy?
He's quite famous.
Which one does he play?
The main one.
Gordy.
Yeah.
Who's John Malkovich?
No one in this.
But he appears at the beginning.
Does he?
Yeah, and I thought it was him doing the voiceover. I thought he was old.
No, Richard Dreyfuss is the voiceover.
So who the fuck is old? Who does John Malkovich play in this?
John Malkovich isn't in this.
He is. He's in the opening scene. He sat in the car.
Oh, that's Gordy. That's older Gordy.
That's older Gordy? So who's... But then, so there's... Do we get three older Gordys?
No, there's two.
So who's narrating this?
Well, yeah, Richard Dreyfuss, yeah.
That's so, Gordy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
yeah, so we get three Gordys.
It's, yeah, but it's the same Gordy.
Well, yeah, no, I know it's the same Gordy. Stand by me into the multiverse.
Is Richard Dreyfuss older Gordy?
I thought he was, because he's the writer and he's writing the book at the end.
No, not Richard Dreyfuss, whoever you said. John Malkovich.
John Malkovich. Yeah, I don't know. I'm finding out. John.
I'm seeing no John Malkovich on this cast list.
He's absolutely in it. I'm sure it's him. If not, it looks exactly like a younger
The guy in the car. I can tell you the guy in the car was Gordy. Whether that was John Malkovich or not, I don't know.
In the opening scene of Stand By Me 1986, the shot of Richard Dreyfuss from outside the truck is not Richard Dreyfuss.
Okay, so who is it, though?
It looks a lot like John Malkovich.
I don't think it's John Malkovich.
Oh, maybe it's not, but it looks a lot like him.
He's some fucking guy who played Gordy for 2 seconds.
Oh, it matters to me.
Let it go.
I have to now, yeah.
Why did you think... It doesn't even look like John Malkovich.
I think it does. I think it absolutely looks like John Malkovich. All right, you said today was the first time you watched it with your adult brain. What did you... What was in it in this version that you didn't pick up on as a kid?
Mostly the gay stuff.
Okay,
mostly I was watching it today and I was like, holy shit, those two really love each other.
These two are gay.
These two, absolutely. Like, fully 100% love each other. And then I was like, oh, this whole thing is like a queer, like, love story. Like, but
it's like a coming-of-age queer thing.
But in a time where you obviously couldn't say that or you would have the shit beaten out and you were probably shot in the face as well.
Yeah.
And then he ends up a closeted man with a kid writing his books. And then he saw that, like, probably the guy who he first realized he loved got stabbed. And then he was like, oh, well, that's...
This is dreadful.
That sucks.
But this is the thing, right? Because he's writing that book and he's making... I think he writes that book because he finds out that the guy he loved got stabbed. And they drifted apart because they obviously weren't allowed to be
themselves.
He's
Stephen King. I cracked it. It's Stephen King who plays him, not John Malkovich.
No, it's John Malkovich.
No, it's Stephen King, high on cocaine.
All right, that's the middle ground we'll find on it. At first I was like, maybe this is just like a bit of a... It's commenting on, like, kids can have deeper friendships. Like, so often kids are shrugged off by adults, and kids can actually have some mature conversations. But as the movie went on, I'm like, oh, no, this is gay. These two are gay. They're absolutely gay.
Yeah. They also do have mature conversations, but then they also have silly kid conversations. Like,
yeah.
Like, what the fuck is Pluto? And all, or what the fuck is Goofy? And all this kind of stuff.
One of my favorite scenes in this is pretty much exactly that, right? It's Gordy and Chris talking, and Chris is going to him, you know, you're the smartest one of all of us. We've all got shit for brains. You're the one that can get out of this town and make something of your life. And he's like, you don't want to be stuck here with us. We don't, like, friends shouldn't drag each other down. And then it cuts to, like, Corey Feldman and the other kid who are in front of them. Mm. And they're like, could Superman beat up a cartoon?
Could Superman beat up Mighty Mouse?
Yeah, and it's like, it's just so, I don't know, it's not even played really as a joke, but it's like, if you were listening, it's just one of them scenes where you're like, oh my God, yeah, this is fucking stupid.
That's very funny, yeah. They're smoking cigarettes. They're all like...
They are.
We're 12-year-old boys in the 50s where we love a cigarette.
I love that. It just happened, apparently. Like, how are they getting these cigarettes?
Well, it's the 50s. And I think fucking Chris says, like, he swipes them from his nerd.
Okay, fair enough.
He says he stole them, and he's like, hey, we can have an after-dinner smoke. And then they're all like, oh, nothing better than an after-dinner smoke. This is something I regularly do, because I am a 12-year-old boy in the 50s.
I love that. They're all pretending they're older. They're all like, we're grown men. We're out here.
No, but they clearly are, though, because they're not coughing or wheezing or anything. They're taking that. They're dragging it like a champ.
So they are used to it. Yeah, they do like, have nothing better than a ciggy after dinner.
A smooth ciggy to wash down your meat on a stick or whatever they had.
Was it meat on a stick? It looked like a burnt-to-fuck marshmallow.
No, it was me, because he went to the shop, didn't he? He was like, I'll have this meat and these four Coca-Colas, please. Oh, that's how we do things in the 50s. Just some loose, non-refrigerated meat and some glass bottle Coca-Colas, please.
It's been sat in the back of my rucksack for like 24 hours in the sun, and it's also been submerged in water. Like...
That was before that. That was before the water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still going to have been... Oh, was the kid who like got pushed off the train tracks, did he have the meat?
Yeah, he had the meat in his bag.
Oh, that meat is fucked. It's going to be crushed to shit.
It was in a little bag. It's meat. What do you mean it's going to be crushed? That doesn't ruin the inter... It's not fucking eggs.
No, but it'll be all squishy and
it's
slimy.
Meat. It's supposed to be squishy.
Yeah, but they're not exactly dicing it up with a pan, are they? And cooking
no,
it nice.
It's mincemeat. They're like forming it into the like little burgers and they're cooking them on sticks.
Oh, so they've all got their hands. Oh, God, they couldn't wash their hands before preparing that meat.
Lawrence, you couldn't survive on a fucking boys' trip in the 50s.
I've been camping. Have you been camping?
Well, you're worried about getting meat on your hands.
Listen, all right, I've been not glamping, but I've been camping and I've had gas.
I've been... So, it's not... okay, so you haven't even had a real fire.
I had a real fire, but that was reserved for marshmallows and telling scary stories.
You've never been camping.
I've been camping. I was in the Scouts.
Yeah, you went camping and then you went into your luxury RV afterwards.
No, I built my
friends.
One time. No, normally we had tents, but this one time I built my own shelter.
I refuse to believe you've slept under the stars.
I can't exactly prove it because I would have been like fucking 13 at the time, but I built a shelter and I slept in it overnight and it was great.
A little Richie Rich over here.
Fuck's sake. I forgot that because this feels so 80s in its like vibe and the way the kids all talk to each other, because obviously it was written in the 80s and everything, but like every now and again I forgot we were in the 50s until it cut back to someone driving a car and I'm like, my God, that is a 50s car.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh wait, who was he again?
Jack Bauer.
No, in this.
He's the mean boy.
Oh my God, is that him?
Yeah, he's the big mean boy.
Oh my God, and he grew up to be
Jack Bauer
in 24, right?
Yeah.
So one of my favorite things about this is you do get into at first it's very let's go see a dead body, you know, like kids do. They want to go and see some gross shit.
Yeah.
And they just want to be.
Would you want to see a dead body at 12?
Not particularly, but in the 50s, you must be quite sheltered and
that's like, true. They don't have Twitter.
Yeah, like right now, like I don't enjoy
they
this
don't
fact.
Have TikTok.
But right now, yeah, they don't, and they. That's one of the negatives about growing up now is that people can, if they want to, probably find a way to see a dead body on the internet.
You probably see one on TikTok. You'll see a kid doing a dance to it or something. A dance. Hey, guys, look at this dead body I found. Anyway.
Now I'm going to hit the gritty.
The renegade. The gritty.
Hell on this dead guy.
We know TikTok.
You actually use it. You do know it more than me.
I know, but I think it's funnier to make out that I don't.
As a 30-year-old man, you have no business knowing TikTok.
Hey!
No, I'm sorry.
As a depressed 30-year-old man,
oh,
I have
okay,
every
fair
business
enough.
Knowing TikTok.
Sorry, that's my mistake. Yeah. All right, no, yeah, so what I'm saying, like the kids, it starts off as this very boyish, childish, let's go and look at a dead body, and then like...
No girls.
No girls allowed on the trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons. They're gay.
Oh, okay.
You were so confused.
I was very confused. I was like, is it obvious? Only two of them are gay. Well,
I know. Yeah, the other two were like, please, can we bring girls? And the other's like, no, ruin the vibe.
No one want to bring girls. Vern won't want to bring girls because he's clearly scared of them.
And no girls want to go near Corey Feldman. Because yeah. Every time they get close, he's like, my dad stormed the beach in Normandy. And start swinging for him. But yeah, I do quite like that it starts off as this very, like, it's almost like a let's prove to the adults that we can be of use and we can be something. We can find this kid's body.
We'll get famous. We'll have our picture in the paper, which is a big thing to achieve in the 50s. And we'll be on TV maybe, so.
Don't they know you can just buy ad space now? Because the papers are dying. And they're like, we'll give you the entire front page.
We'll give you anything. Please, just buy our paper.
Please. My God, you remember when the price of papers used to be like 80p and now they're like £4 something?
Well, I can't say I've bought a paper recently, to be honest. I did recently hear an older gentleman refer to the news in general as the papers. And I was like, oh, that seems weird.
Jesus, that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, I guess of that generation, of course you would, but like, I haven't read a newspaper in well over 10 years at this point.
Yeah.
And
it seems like an absolutely horrendous way of digesting your news.
It's a horrible, it's not even stapled together. They're all just loose. You just gotta hold them all together. You gotta do that thing where you're like,
fuck. Yeah, yeah. You gotta brandish them,
flinging your arms out to read it.
They're so big that you can't hold them comfortably at all.
And then you read the Sun, and it's all like tits. Look at these tits.
And then you're like, oh no, I look like a pervert at the dinner table.
I'm trying to catch up on world events here, and there's just like, look at all these boobs, boys. And I'm like, no.
Meanwhile, the Garfield cartoon just calls to me. I'm like, I'd much rather be reading this.
I want to know my horoscope, please.
And then you finish with it, and your hands are all inky, and you're like, oh, I just got out of the shower. I need another shower. I'm disgusting.
But then again, like all these like fucking. What do you call it? Like outlets, I guess, like the like the Sun or whatever they were. You go on their website now, and now it's just like top 10 celebrities who you want to fuck or something. And it's like,
who you want to fuck?
It's just the worst, just fucking SEO driven dreck. Just whatever will get the most clicks, and it's
They've all been BuzzFeedified.
There's no integrity in the fucking whatever happened to journalistic integrity, you know? Well, I see.
Have you seen that meme that really? I think we might have even spoken about it, where it's like someone while Oppenheimer was like doing its press run, someone went to Chris Nolan. What do you think about the new Batman movie? And he was like, I'd rather not comment on superheroes because it'll be the only thing from the article that gets published. And then it was like, Variety were like, Chris Nolan refuses to speak upon Batman.
I literally listened to something about this yesterday. I can't remember what it was, but there was something about this yesterday where like they were saying it was proven by this exact fact. I can't remember what it was.
Weekly Planet probably brought it up.
Possibly was that, yeah. Possibly, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so it starts off as this boyish, childish adventure, but I like that on the way they realize that this is actually like it kind of dawns on them what they're doing, and like you start to get more of a deeper insight as to why all of them would want this fame and glory, and then ultimately why when they do find the body at the end it doesn't really matter anymore to any of them, specifically Chris and Gordy, who are more the main characters than the other two. But Chris is obviously like just kind of Chris has been put in a box his whole life, like his brother is an absolute fucking piece of shit, and he kind of has grown up in his shadow. And
his dad's a piece of shit. They're like the rough family from the wrong side of the tracks and stuff. And
yeah,
he's grown up with this stigma around him where like he doesn't think that he'll ever get a chance in life, basically, because of how he's perceived. Before people have even met him, they're like, ah, you're that kid. You're the fucking thing. And which is true and happens. Like I specifically remember one time in high school, it was like a new year, I'd started a new class, new teacher, and the very first thing this teacher said to me was, oh God, another Bauer, because they need my other sister.
I had the same shit with my brother. Was like, my brother was good at rugby at school, but he was also part of like the rugby lads.
Yeah.
Right. And so like there was a few, you know, like he would mug off a few teachers and like give them a bit of shit. And like, I wasn't like that too. I was very much more like meek and milder, especially in year seven.
Right? The nerd.
Yeah, and then they were like, one of the first things that was said to me, and this isn't even a negative, it just makes me laugh, is they're like, ah, Heisey, is it? Are we going to have another rugby star like your brother? And I was like, where is the drama studio, please?
Yeah, it's true.
No, but people do. They cast these kind of preconceived kind of aspersions onto you. That's one of the best scenes in the whole movie is the milk money scene, I think, where Chris, is it Chris? I keep saying Chris. Yeah. Chris kind of like breaks down this story about how, yes, he did steal the milk money. But when he went to give it back, the person he gave it back to, this responsible adult that he gave it back to, thinking they would do the right thing, they went out and bought themselves like a new piece of clothing. And then he never got the recognition for doing the right thing, only the punishment for doing the wrong thing. And people were kind of like, people looked at him like as if like, oh yeah, well, we didn't expect anything better of you anyway. So, I don't know, that whole scene for me, it was really, I mean, it's just like he's been put in a box his entire life. And it's what I liked about it is it's almost this horrible scene of a child realizing that, like, it's circumstantial. Like, life is stacked against him, and he's not been given a fair run.
Yeah,
straight away.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then he's been told that from day dot, but now genuinely, for a time at least, believes that that is his lot in life, and that he has nothing else to contribute.
And he's gay. Yeah.
Is that the only thing you picked up from this?
No, he's struggling with that too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, no. I think that's one of the best. What's going on with Gordy?
His brother died, and now his family hate him. Although they probably hated him anyway because they didn't seem that nice to him.
No, he was the brother that died was the quote unquote. It's kind of the reverse problem of Chris.
It's John Cusack, his brother.
Is that John Cusack?
Like, hello, I'm John Cusack. I'm the handsomest and nicest boy in the world.
Yeah,
I'm the football quarterback, and I'm dating my sweet girl, and I also love my little brother, even though my family hate him.
It is a bit of a dose of Mr. Perfect, isn't it? Yeah. Like, yeah, he's like putting his baseball cap on him, and he's ruffling his hair, and he's like, "Hey, sport,
yeah,
you know, pick up that head of yours." Yeah, but I like that it is the reverse of Chris's problem. It's like this guy's brother was actually too well revered.
Yeah.
Now that Gordy is the only one left, the surviving sibling, people are like, they either put all of his brother's pressure onto him, or they just naturally expect him to be lesser. And it's there's this kind of unspoken thing. And this maybe is mainly going on more so in Gordy's head than actually in reality, especially outside of his family. But there is this unspoken thing of it should have been the other kid that died. It should have been Gordy that died.
Yeah.
Gordy had less potential.
Yeah. And what a cunt.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, I know he doesn't outright say it, but like, if your child's having dreams and waking up in a sweat thinking you will say that to him.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
You also just like, but in like the flashbacks we see that aren't dreams, he's like still not a nice guy. He's just fully ignoring his son and everything.
Yeah.
He's just a horrible man, really. But that's the 50s for you.
Did the two brothers share a room in that house?
No. It was a big house. There was no way they shared a room.
Well, that's what I thought, but I thought there was a moment where they referred to it as his room, but when in one of the flashbacks, there's two beds. I'm fairly certain.
They might have two beds for another reason.
Gay.
No.
Hang on. No, they'd share a bed.
Yeah. I don't think what gay means.
Gay is when two friendly men sleep next to each other, right?
Yeah.
That's my understanding of it. Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty crazy, especially because, like, Gordy is seen as the one with less potential. But, like, really all his brother had going for him was that he's a nice guy and he plays high school football well. Whereas, like, Gordy's the one that's actually intelligent.
But in America in the 50s, you might as well be president, all right?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah, you catch the fucking... I don't know how American football works, but you get the home run up. No, that's baseball. You score the big touchdown or whatever. You kiss the girl, the homecoming queen or whatever, and then they just make you president. That's how it works in the 50s. I assume.
That's JFK, right?
That's exactly what happened to JFK.
So it's two men who understand loads about that period in history. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right, to be fair, yeah. But I it is funny that he's like, Gordy's clearly more academically gifted. Like, he's got the good sense to actually... Yeah, exactly. He's like, he's actually got... And like, his dad's going, yeah, that's not a career. You can't do that. And then when you see him grown up as an adult, man's living in a mansion.
We don't know it's a mansion.
It's fucking big. You see the grounds that his kids are playing on.
You see one room... And you see half of that room, and then you see outside onto the lawn. Okay, like,
yeah, the very big lawn.
Yeah, admittedly, it's a big lawn,
big front lawn. That's a stately home, Nathan.
Yeah, but that could be serving the whole street. We don't know.
Everyone go out into the communal front lawn.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, it depends on the angle we saw it. I'd have to have another look.
Yeah.
But yeah. But like, he's got the good sense to, like, he checks the train, that he checks the railroad.
He's very clever about checking the train. That always struck me as clever when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was probably the most famous scene in the movie. It's what everyone remembers. The big fucking train bridge scene. And it is like just very iconic and great. But yeah, that always, when he's like touching the fucking, like the railway things to like sense for vibrations, I'm like, that's smart. That's a smart kid, man. I don't even think for that. I'd be like, is there a train? Guess we'll never know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's only one way across this.
Does anyone have a timetable? I can Google it real quick, I guess.
Yeah. No. yeah. These kids are pulling out their smartphones.
Yeah. Let me just check Twitter, see if anyone knows the timetable.
Yeah, yo, anyone know the timetable? My mutuals hit me up.
Yeah. But they could have just waited 10 minutes and they'd have been fine. But no.
Yeah, I'd have fully just sat there. I'm not risking this. That's insane.
But then, how long do you wait, though? What's the cutoff, you know? Because you can.
And then you know you'll go. And then yeah. The second you go, yeah.
It's like when you're waiting for a package and you need to use the toilet. You're like, what's the cutoff here? You
know? Yeah, yeah. How much of time or window have I got? If it was me, I think I would simply just run across the whole thing anyway.
Like, it's a long bridge.
Yeah, but all right, I'd at least knock a bit of it out, like in a sprint, catch my breath for a bit.
I think I'd go for it. I'd start to walk across the bridge, and if the train did come, I think I'd just stand as far to the side as I could and just hope for the best.
I was thinking, because I was doing the exact same thing, I was like, how would I handle this? Right? Yeah. I was thinking maybe I would like find a way to get to the side, but then like there's always a tiny bit of infrastructure where they have to support the beams and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe I could like, you know, just dangle myself off, hold onto a beam or something.
Drop down.
Yeah. But now, but like I said, if this happened to me, I'd have my phone and I'd just Google the time table.
Yeah.
But if or this happens, I would simply just take another mode of transport to this.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing when like the other brothers are like, they've spent the entire movie trekking this way. Yeah. And then the old guys are like, get in the fucking car, let's go.
Yeah. They're there in like 20 minutes or
whatever. Yeah. It really does. I actually think it works against the movie because it does make you feel like this is absurdly
well, they
quick.
Do say it's like it's 20 to 30 miles. Which really isn't that far. Like,
no.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, true, yeah.
It's like, I guess if you're walking, but it's still, like, I don't think it'd take you this long.
No, it definitely
20 miles? Like, you can walk a mile in about 10 minutes, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to take you two fucking days, is it? If you're constantly walking as well.
Yeah, but they did like, stop for like, you know.
They stopped to tell each other gay stories.
They stopped to tell each other gay stories. They had a gay awakening. They went to
the junkyard.
They
cooked their squishy meat.
They had to fight that dog or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, they did. Yeah.
Yeah. They stopped to get eaten by leeches, so.
Ah, most disgusting scene.
Horrible, terrified me as a kid. I was terrified of public, of like, not public water, but like, you know, like lakes and stuff and everything.
Yeah, ever submerging yourself.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I'll get a leech on my penis. No. Can't.
It almost bit his willy off, Nathan. And also, like, there's no blood on the rest of him, but the one in his pants is bloody when he pulls it out.
It's been having a good...
Oh, man.
Leech, yeah. Yeah. Train scene very good, though.
Training's very good. And indulge me if you will.
Okay.
Right. Because I think that I may be onto something, but I also may be way overreaching.
Choo-choo.
And I would like to thank you. And I would like to get your take on this.
Right.
I think there's something in the train scene being an analogy for growing up general. Yeah, no, okay. Right. I told you I might be overreaching with this, and I'm going to say it quickly, otherwise you'll laugh at me.
Okay.
I think there's something in being forced to commit to a path that you know might fail. Like, it's the only way forward, and you have to be brave enough to actually continue on, but at the same time, like, life's problems may catch up with you, and it may just go fucking sideways anyway.
Yeah.
Like, with or without intervention for yourself. And you're kind of on one track. There's nothing you can do. You can't evade it. You either get to the end or you don't. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. And I think really that is the beauty of movies and cinema and pictures and whatever you want to call them. Because
pictures for me.
Because these things are open interpretation, and no one can tell you that you're wrong. Just like no one can tell me that I'm wrong for thinking they're gay.
They are gay. Is that what? So I get to have my wanky interpretation as long as no one dares question you on the gay subtext.
Yes,
it's not subtext, though, is it?
No, like, it is funny because I was watching it. I was like, this is definitely gay, and then I just googled "Stand By Me" queer. Just to see if there was like any like analysis or anything like that,
or any and TikTok I've... fan cams.
No, that would be weird. And then I found a Reddit thread that was like, "Is Stand By Me gay?" And I was watching it. I couldn't help notice this was a little bit gay. And then there was just a lot of replies from clearly very straight men being like, "No, it's obviously about friendship and nothing more. Okay, they're just friends.
Did they kiss? I don't think so. Debunked.
He has kids. How could he be gay?"
Yeah,
that's true. A gay man has never had kids.
No, it's true. It never happens.
Yeah.
My God, yeah. No, but some people are just... And that's media literacy today anyway. Like, it's just dead in the water with people being like, if I didn't see it happen on screen or if it wasn't said on screen, it's not real.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, like, but just look at the whole thing.
It's very gay.
It's so gay.
I might have just been, like, reading too much into it. So I'm very glad you agree.
No, of course, because it's like they're the only real two to connect emotionally that can have an honest conversation with each other.
Yeah.
Like the movie's narration is prompted because of the death of like what we are led to assume is just a big what if in Gordy's life.
Yes.
And I think there's a clear reason why they've drifted apart as adults, specifically Chris and Gordy, is because being with each other and being unable to be with each other is probably quite painful.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Gordy's inspired Chris to go on to actually like become a lawyer, and like he pulls the best out of him. And every time anyone even starts to roast Gordy in a way, who is the meekest and mildest of the group, I think, like the most introverted. At least.
Oh,
the other one's a bit more goofy, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Vern's like he's like the scaredy cat, but he's like a fun little guy. Yes.
Yeah, he's still willing to like make a joke and you know like rinse out people's comb. Mums and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, he's got that comb.
He has it until he doesn't.
Yeah, he lost it on the bridge. Bless him.
Corey Feldman's greatest line of just like, I love their dynamic. I think they very much are pairs. These two, and I love it. He's like, you don't even have any fucking hair, and he's like, I brought it for you.
That is very funny.
Yeah. My man's bringing each other combs. But yeah, almost any time anyone squares up to Gordy or challenges him in any way, he's like, you shut the fuck up.
Chris is like, what the fuck are you doing? Shut up.
He says stuff to him that like
partners even that scene. There's even that scene where like Gordy is like, well, fuck my college classes. I'll hang out with you guys. And he's like, no, you fucking won't. Yeah. I'll fucking smack you. You're going to do your college classes and you're going to be a good person and not fucking waste away with us layabouts and stuff.
It reads as fucking pillow talk, right? Between a couple, like those little moments of like, that's your dad talking.
Yeah.
And it's like, friends, 12-year-old mates don't say this to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, anyone that I think I think if you deny the gay subtext of the movie, right? Like if you're that terrified of it, you don't have to acknowledge it, right? But it's there. Whether you want to see it or not, it's absolutely there.
It's there. It's there for me anyway. I picked up on it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you want to talk about Corey Feldman's character?
I would absolutely love to talk about Corey Feldman's character. And that is, of course, Teddy Duchamp.
Oh, you got his full name, have you?
Yeah. He wears glasses.
I've been calling him Corey Feldman this entire time. You could have told me that name earlier.
It's Teddy Duchamp.
What's going on with him?
I think his dad has PTSD.
I think so, yeah.
And he's like... I don't think they knew what PTSD was in the 50s. They're like, oh, you got shell shock. He's insane.
Throw him in the loony bin.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, obviously mistreating his son and everything like that, but...
Yeah. I think it's like, for like, quite obviously, like, and I often disagree with this notion, but it's always believed, you know, the loudest in the room is often the most shielding pain kind of thing. Like, that's a thing that old people say to each other.
I don't think there's an element of truth to that.
I do, but I think it's not a rule that people.
No,
think
it's
it
not
is,
a hard and fast rule. But oh, loudest, clearly traumatized. in any situation, you know.
Yeah.
Some people are just loud and annoying. You know?
Yeah, it's true, and they're like some people are just fucking just irritating people.
Yeah.
But this, like, there's obviously the notion of that explored here, in that like this guy is. He's got the quite, you don't, you, I think he, you find out the least about him, or maybe the other guy. But again, that guy, there's not much to him other than he brings the comb and he's a bit of a goof.
He's looking for his pennies, whatever that means.
He does want his pennies. There's something there. Because he finds a penny the second he's back and I'm like, ooh, what's that metaphor? I don't know.
Oh, you're looking more, you'll be more eye-fi. Lawrence is gay, that's it, okay.
That's no true, it's a gay.
There's no more to it than that.
Stand by me and give me a kiss.
Yes.
should be cool. No, but Corey Feldman, he's obviously like deeply insecure about like, he's. I think there's an element of he's proud of his father. Even though he now can't understand him or have a relationship with him. Like, he's proud of his contributions to the world. It's why every time anyone ever questions him, he's like, oh, he stormed the beach at Normandy.
Yeah.
But there's an element of now he doesn't understand it, because now that his father's home and he has these shortcomings as a father.
Yeah.
It's very, I don't know. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's obviously something there. Yeah,
I do 100%. I mean, you know, there's that scene where like, the guy who runs the junkyard is like, hey, I know your dad. He's fucking, he's insane. He lives up in the loony bin or whatever and all this stuff. So, and like, he's like ready to fucking, I mean, the exact line is, I think, I'll tear open your throat. I'll rip off your head and shit down your throat.
Something
like that. Which is very creative for a 12-year-old, but
I wasn't like this at 12, were you?
No, not at all, no.
Not like this.
Not like this, no.
I might have dropped a one or two cuss words.
Oh, I'd have been swearing like a sailor at 12 years old. You know, it's because it's like you're away from your parents. You think it's like adult and cool to be like, hey, fuck you.
And then you look around and no one's applauding and you're like, oh, this isn't like the movie. What the hell?
Yeah.
Let's talk about, again, I think we've already spoken about him quite a bit, but I quite like the scene where they actually find the body. Like the big third act climax of the movie.
The body famously played by John Malkovich.
Yes, that's correct. I thought you were going to actually give me the name and I was going to be like, I don't know that for sure.
I can give you a name.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Sure.
and John Malkovich.
I can't give you the name. It was in the credits. I do remember seeing it in the credits, but...
That's the easiest payday of that guy's life.
Yeah, just be
stand there for a few close-ups, yeah.
He was probably like a fucking the best boy or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought he was an actor.
How long's that body supposed to have been dead for?
Not long, a few days, I reckon.
Oh, okay. So that's fairly believable then, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because he's preserved by the elements.
I can tell you that Andy Lindberg played Lard-Ass Hogan.
Right, yeah, that story...
Lard-Ass.
Is it just... there's probably people smarter than me out there that have worked this out, but like,
yeah.
What is that? Why? Because it's a long old tangent.
It's a story. He's a writer, isn't he?
Yeah, but like, there must be something in like, because it's all about like getting back at someone's father and stuff, isn't it? Like, it's. Do you know what I mean?
Back at someone's dad?
I think so. Well, the guy, because he like plans the whole thing to throw up on that guy's face.
Yeah, but it's not his dad.
Is that not his dad?
No.
Who is it then? Just a guy who tells him to go and eat pies.
Yeah, it's not his dad.
What? Who the fuck is it then? Who's ushering him around to pie fairs?
No one. He entered the pie competition to get revenge. His dad didn't do it. He's not going around to pie fairs. This is the first competition he's ever done.
Oh, I see. And he's getting paid back. He's
getting paid back on the whole town because they're always like calling him lardass and just being mean to him. So he's like, "Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the pie competition and make you all throw up."
But who's the? Because Corey Feldman says that ending sucks. He should have gone back and shot that guy in the head. Who's that guy?
Who's
the guy he would have been supposedly shot? Because someone's forced him to. That guy's whispers something in his ear and then pushes him over and trips him on purpose.
He says to him, "You better not win this competition." That's what he says to him. Because he wants to win. Because he's the favourite. And even the host guy is like, "Hey, I got $10 riding on you. You better win or whatever."
I see. So who the fuck does Corey Feldman say he should shoot in the face?
I don't know. Someone who
or is that Corey Feldman? Like, it should end with someone getting shot in the face.
I think that's just Corey Feldman being dumb and not being a writer and being like, you know, when like someone is like, "Oh, how epic would it be if like Superman turned to the camera and said, 'I am Superman,' or whatever?" You know, they do that thing.
Yeah.
Or when they're like, literally, like when like, "Oh, Darth Vader should have said, 'Now I am the high ground,'" you know?
Peacemaker puts on Rick Flagg's
t-shirt
in solidarity.
Exactly. You know that shit they do.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, fair enough. the first instance of fan interference. All right. So I like it when Gordy, seeing the body does become like an obsession with him. We get a bit more deeper insight into him because obviously it's being narrated by the adult version of him.
Is there anything going on with his brother there, do you reckon?
Absolutely. Yeah. There has to be.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because it becomes more of like, I think it started to become about his brother when he acknowledged that he didn't cry at the funeral.
Yeah.
And it was, this feels like almost away from his family and his prying eyes and all that pressure.
His own bit of closure, really.
Yeah. And also surrounded by the only person he feels emotionally connected to.
Yeah.
His gay best friend.
Yeah,
I think there's absolutely, it's his chance to actually say goodbye to his brother, so away from prying eyes that want to put all the pressure onto him, basically.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I really like that. And I like that I think that even Chris picks up on that. And there's something in it for Chris as well when the guy, Keith Sutherland, is like, "Give us the body." They're just two gangs of boys. Like, "We want the dead guy.
We're the Cobras. We're the Cobras. We're this cool gang of 50s, like, greaser type of boys. We're riding around in our cars playing mailbox baseball, and we all have switch knives. And here's our arch rival, this gang of 12-year-old boys."
Yeah. "We hate these 12-year-old boys, and they're also related to us.
Boys. Yeah, that are all our younger brothers or something.
We hate them because they're going to be the Cobras when they grow up. We'll have to become something else."
I do think that adds to the whole like gay subtext, though, because I mean, maybe it wasn't intentional because, you know, it was the 80s and like things were just generally not as non-problematic as they are now, but he very clearly does call them an F-slur at one point.
That's true. Yeah, it does.
And then they're like,
but there's a few slurs.
There is a few. This. Yeah, and it's probably just more like an 80s thing.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Possibly intentional. Possibly not.
I mean, it's twice. Keith Sutherland says it twice to him. So
yeah, yeah,
maybe. What's I'm just curious because I always get concerned about a guy who was alive in the 80s having a prolific Twitter account today. What's Stephen King's demeanor like? What's that guy's vibe?
Hasn't he been like on Twitter recently, like, "Oh, the Oscars are hack" or whatever?
Yeah, but this is the thing. This is why I'm concerned. He's a guy that has an opinion on most things, but like, I don't know if I've been able to nail down his vibe. Like, Because he might be one of them. Remember, like, famously, the guy who made WALL-E is like, this doesn't have any meaning on the environment. And it's
what?
Like, well, it does.
Really?
Yeah. We spoke about this in the WALL-E episode. Did we? Yeah, the guy who directed WALL-E, I don't think he wrote it. The guy that directed WALL-E was like, yeah, no,
well,
I didn't.
If he did write it, then he can fuck off. Because there's no way. You can shut up.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. Like, maybe there is, because people, subtext is whatever you think and feel, whatever subconscious connection you have to a piece of media, right, or anything.
I've pulled his Twitter up. The first thing I've seen here is a tweet from
it's a
January.
Pinned tweet that says, "I hate gay people."
No, it's a tweet from January 29th, so yesterday, and it says, "Trump is such a crybaby." So,
okay,
that's something. There's a
we're
lot.
We're on our
of,
way to the top here.
Trump ordered to pay $83.3 million, and what is Fox News talking about? Taylor Swift, of course. So. It was like he doesn't like Trump, so that's something at least.
He seems at least somewhat progressive.
Yes. I'm going to... let me just search gay on his Twitter and see what comes up.
It's just it's a barrage of tweets saying, Gordy and Chris aren't gay.
All right, so all I found here, this is from 2015... Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act is gay discrimination, pure and simple. You can frost a dog turd, but it's still a dog turd. So yeah, he seems pretty clued up for the most part.
He's on the right side of history then.
He
that's
did
good.
Write that child orgy, but you know, but it was the
80s. Yeah, but it was the 80s and he was on cocaine.
He was on cocaine, so you know. Well, who hasn't written a child orgy scene when we're high on cocaine, okay?
He's going to listen to this and be very unsure whether he needs to sue us or not.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll listen to this, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he'll be tuning in.
Well, he's very online. He's an online guy.
Yeah, but...
Maybe one day he'll pick up on our 100 follower account or something. Yeah, who knows? but no, I like Chris's reaction to Keith Sutherland trying to take the body. Basically, they want to take all of his credit, and I quite like that Chris, it's not very subtle, but I do like that Chris's ultimate narrative closing point to his arc comes down to basically an older figure. That's his brother, right?
Wait, what? Who, I was not listening to
one of, one of the gang is Chris's brother?
Yeah, is Kiefer Sutherland's friend is Chris's brother.
Yeah. So they, like,
and
this
one
is,
of them
this
is Fern's brother.
Oh, yes, correct, yes. Yeah. So I like that the boiling point of Chris's narrative comes down to the reason he has such a shit in the mud reputation.
Yeah.
Trying to now take the only thing that Chris thinks could redeem him in the eyes of the town is discovering this kid's body and giving this family some closure.
Yes.
And then ultimately, his brother comes to take it, and he's like, this is fucked. I'm not giving... This guy is the reason my life sucks. I'm not giving him the only bit of meaningful praise I could rightfully give myself. And then what I think is even sweeter and definitely speaks to the gay subtext is that he's more than happy to go with this body until he sees that Gordy needs it to not be all about him.
Yeah.
He needs to have the moment of like, yeah, let's call it in, let's do the right thing, but let's do it selflessly. In honor of my brother, rather than for the selfish need to have the credit for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty massive sacrifice for Chris to make.
I think so too. Yeah.
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 Also, I like that everyone runs away except for Chris and Gordy, who stay. When the guy pulls out his knife or something.
He's got a gun.
But Chris didn't know that. Chris was ready to go toe to toe with him.
It's true, he was. Yeah, but. And Gordy's got that gun, so.
Jack Bauer should have had a gun. That would have made more sense.
Jack Bauer always has a gun.
Yeah.
I say, having not watched 24. I've seen one season of 24, and I enjoyed it.
Is it true that it's every episode is an hour of a day?
Yeah.
That's a great concept.
It is, yeah. That's why it's called 24. Yeah. They do treat it a little bit because, like, ad breaks and stuff. So it's...
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's 24 episodes a season. Every episode is an hour long, and the whole show is set over a day. Yeah.
That is really cool.
It is good, yeah. And I remember really
I like the
it.
Idea that every couple of years, Jack Bauer has one really sleepless night. And he's like, oh, God damn it, it's the crime.
Just one horrible day a year.
It's the 24-hour day again. No.
Exactly.
I like that at the end, when they come home, there's the acknowledgement of the town. At the start of the movie, the town was their life, right? It was their world.
Yeah.
They say even there's only like, I don't know, like a couple thousand people that live there.
Yeah.
But for them, it's their entire world. But when he comes back, their worldview has expanded smaller. A little bit. They've grown a deeper understanding, and now it feels smaller than before.
100%. Yeah. And I think that happens. I feel like when... If you spend a lot of time in one place, you grow up in one place, and then, like, I don't know if you'll... Because it's different for you, because you, like, lived in London, really. But, like, I grew up in, like, a relatively smallish town, and then, like, went away for you. And then I was like, oh, this town's, like... To me, that town was everything. That was, like, where everything was. That was where everyone hung out and stuff. And then I, like, went away. I moved away to college and university, and then I came back, and I was like... Oh, this is very different than what I remember. This is, like, not that great, to be honest.
And also, like, things don't matter as much. Like, you can leave and you can,
exactly. And I think you should. I think people should leave their hometown. Get out. Move.
I think it's important to experience different things.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and also,
you can move back, but I think it's important for people to spend time away from it and to experience new things.
Which is crazy to say from a guy who grew up in London and went to uni in London. Like, that was my primo opportunity to, like, go and see something different.
Yeah.
And I almost did. I almost went to Plymouth.
Really?
Yeah, but then I didn't. And thank God, because then we wouldn't have two enormous podcasts. I wouldn't have my wife or two podcasts.
We wouldn't be here now. You wouldn't have your wife or, more importantly, this podcast.
Yeah, these podcasts.
These podcasts.
And that's my whole life.
It's true, yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of me on it. Do you have any little things or other points you want to talk about?
I have no little things. I have no
the deer.
Point.
What does the deer mean?
Oh, there was a deer. Yeah.
And
I don't know.
Never told anyone.
I'm not smart enough. I don't know. No. Maybe it was just a nice deer.
We need Ben from Canada here to debunk the deer.
We'll ask Ben.
Yeah.
But it's a good movie, I think.
It's a very good movie. I really enjoyed it. Yeah,
I think it's well acted. It does not pass the Bechdel test, so it's sexist and misogynistic, obviously. Yeah. But you know,
that's true. Yeah. So cancelled. Stephen canceled. King. All those nice things we said about you.
Revoked.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. In the bin.
And you write orgies for children.
Yeah, you sicko.
And you're a cocaine addict from the '80s. I'm gonna stop. This is terrible. All right, two little things for me. It's good to see that even back in the 50s, there was still the rule of two for flinching.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's probably a classic. Earlier than the 50s, that was.
Yeah. And also the mailbox baseball. Looks like tremendous fun, but, like, what a pack of cunts.
I mean, what a pack of cunts, but also there was, like, three houses on that street and, like, 12 mailboxes.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah.
There was a lot more mailboxes than houses on that street, you know?
Maybe they all share them. They've all got one lawn and one mailbox each.
Maybe, yeah.
That didn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
You know, when you say something, you're like, I've committed to that now. So let's just move over that. All right, yeah, cool. Nathan, what we do at this point in the show...
Sorry, I was yawning.
That made me jump. I was like, what have I done? What have I done? I've forgotten something.
Sorry.
Nathan, what we do at this point in the show is some recommendations. What are they, I hear you ask?
I don't know, what are they?
Thank you. What we do is... No, I just read the same thing. Basically, we recommend something to each other and to you, our faithful, loyal listeners. It could be something we've watched, read, listened to, experienced, just anything we've done in this past week that we'd love to share with each other and to you. Nathan, what are you recommending this week?
I want to know what you're recommending.
Have you got one?
I genuinely do have one, but I always like it when you go first.
Okay. In the spirit of gay subtext,
I
think everyone should watch a new... Yeah, I know. I think everyone should watch a movie that is... does away with the subject and is overtly gay. I mean, Luca's probably one of them. I haven't seen Luca.
How do you know?
Because I know it's, people say it's quite a gay movie.
Well, shouldn't take everyone's word for it.
No, I shouldn't, but I'll watch it at
you
some
should
point.
Find out for yourself.
I'm talking about another movie.
Okay.
It is a movie that is called All of Us Strangers, and it is a very good movie. It's out now.
Bottoms?
In the cinema. Hmm?
Bottoms?
Bottoms? No, I didn't say bottoms.
Okay.
That is also very gay.
Yeah, I'm just guessing gay movies.
I told you the name of it. Why are you still guessing?
Because it could be Bottoms.
Basically, All of Us Strangers, it's based off a Japanese book, I think, which the title translates to just Strangers.
A manga?
No, just a book.
Not a manga?
No, just a book, a normal book.
What's it called?
Strangers. Whatever that ends up being in Japanese. But basically, this is an adaptation. Just shut up a minute.
Okay.
This is an adaptation directed by a director called Andrew Haig, who is a gay man, and starring Andrew Scott, who is also a gay man, and also Paul Mescal, who is not a gay man, I believe.
Plays that priest.
Yes, Andrew Scott does play the priest, yeah. He's like, I love you, it'll pass. Basically, this movie, it's about quite a lot of things, but it's a really interesting look at how this man has grown up quite lonely because he always didn't feel like he could truly be himself because his parents never truly got to know him.
Yeah.
This is not spoilers. This is all like set up.
Sounds like spoilers.
No, it's just this. Everything I'm saying is in the trailer and it's also in like the synopsis and everything. Yeah, I know. Catch me. But basically, his parents have died at an unfortunate time. And it's basically a story about how lives may end, but they never stop mattering to the people who knew them, and also what it means to come to terms with your, not come to terms with your sexuality, but to address it with your parents as an older man.
Yeah.
And considering when Andrew Scott's character grew up was the 80s, his parents, what information he has from his parents' opinions would have been very informed by that time period.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a lot of love to go on, if that makes sense. But yeah, no, genuinely, that's all I'll say. Really, really interesting movie. And just really interesting as well, I would say. Quite well made.
Okay. Well, there you go. Maybe I'll watch it.
Indeed. I think you'd really like it. It's a really good movie. And it also might redeem Paul Mescal because you hate After Sun.
Oh, is that him? Oh, I don't want to watch him.
Fuck. <What?
laughs> I really didn't like that movie.
Well, he's not even the same guy.
I know, but still. Leave a bad taste in my mouth.
One of the only movies I've seen where there is an extremely transparent look at actual gay sex. Like... No, but there's like there's some stuff on screen I was not expecting to be shown on screen.
You could have just said a graphic sexy. I don't know why you needed to describe it that way.
No, because there's a lot of sex that happens on screen, right? But often gay sex is brushed over or implied, and like directors aren't often as brave to show it overtly. And studios, even if the director filmed it, a lot of the time studios are like, well, we can't have that in the movie. Like, so what I'm saying is it's very explicitly open, which I think is good and refreshing.
There we go.
And I'm pretty sure when gay people love each other, it's just two guys that sit in two separate beds, right?
Okay, let's move on.
Nathan, what are you recommending?
I am recommending, Lawrence, a thing. Well, not
the
really.
The thing?
No. It's more... It's not really a thing. It's
the thing?
No, shut up with this. I'm not
it's annoying, isn't it?
I'm not recommending the thing.
It's fucking well annoying.
I am recommending the practice of documenting your life, okay?
Okay,
Take pictures. Go out with your friends, take pictures, take videos. Remember these moments. I have recently decided that I want to put together a photo album of my entire life. Let me tell you, it's fucking annoying and stressful because there's so many fucking parts of my life where I'm just like, well, that is a complete mystery to me. And I have no idea what happened or ever will happen. And I've deleted past Facebook accounts where my whole life was documented. I'm like, oh, I'll never need this again. That's fine. So my entire school years are just gone from existence now.
The double-edged sword of your extremely private personal life.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've been talking to my mum. I've been talking to friends. I'm trying to gather as much old pictures as possible. But when you're out with friends, you're having a good time. Take pictures, document it, be cringe, who cares? People say, oh, live in the moment. Fuck that, fuck the moment. Take pictures so you
can remember
the moment later.
Sometimes you want to look back on the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unless you're at a concert, in which case you will never watch that video back.
No, but you might, though. This is the thing.
But you won't, though, will you?
But you say that. But here's the thing, Lawrence, because I have been going through everything I own, and I have been watching videos of when I went to concerts, and I'm like,
okay,
that was a very fun time. I really enjoyed that. So fuck you. Okay.
Are you making it? Is it a physical photo album, or are you?
I'm gonna
like
make it physical. Yeah, I want to make it physical. I'm gathering digital copies of everything now, and then I'm gonna get these photo printed. I want to get a very large like book, like a big photo album,
a leather bound piece,
and put them all in it. I've reached out to you and to your wife to send me stuff.
I sent you your passport photo.
Yes, thank you for that. My own passport photo. I've had nothing back yet, which is interesting.
I mean, I've sent the inquiry, so.
We'll have
to wait and see.
You can look yourself, you know.
I don't have those photos that you want.
Go through the archives.
I did actually look. I did have a look on my phone and my old phone, but I couldn't find them. Thank you very much for listening. If you have enjoyed the show, then please feel free to leave us a 5-star review. It would be very much appreciated. You can do that on your podcast platform of choice, especially Apple. That would be really nice because you can write a little message on Apple.
We have a channel on Apple now.
A channel?
Yeah, like another Happy Studios is a channel on Apple Podcasts. So I think, you can subscribe to another Happy Studios. You get both podcasts, which happens to be Still Got Legs, a Doctor Who rewatch podcast,
hey!
Where new episodes come out every Monday at 10 a.m. And you can get that by subscribing to our channel on Apple. I don't know what that means, but yeah.
I guess it just means that you're subscribed to two whole shows.
I guess so.
Rather than, but if you're already subscribed to, don't unsubscribe.
Yeah.
Go and subscribe, and if that auto unsubscribes you, that's fine because you're still subscribed. But don't like, oh, I'll figure this out later and unsubscribe now. Don't
just
do that.
Subscribe.
Yeah. Did you know that I listened to one of our episodes, the newest Still Got Legs episode, because I was just having a little meander, right? And you can scroll down to the bottom on Spotify, and it says, "What did you think of this episode?"
Is it?
Yeah. Where do they go?
On Spotify. I don't know. Where do they go?
Where do they go? We don't fucking read them.
Let me put it up now.
Let me submit one. Hang on, let me end the show and then I'll submit one. Yes. Also, if you go on over to Twitter, you can follow us at Another Happy Pod. That's where you'll get post reminders for new episodes every single Friday at 10 a.m.
We've got 68 ratings on Spotify for Still Got Legs. That is
fucking hell.
Yeah. And we're currently rated 4.9 stars. So.
It's also a place where you can suggest topics by following the link in our pinned tweet. No promises, of course, but you can have your little say. And maybe
we're doing one next week.
Fuck's sake.
Maybe.
And here's a little hint as to what it is next week.
It's a movie I haven't seen, so I don't know what to do for it.
Very good. Thank you very much for listening again. We will see you next week.
Wahoo! It's not Mario. Bye.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's not
Nathan! Right. Nathan!
Sorry.
5-Star High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.